My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
He's Toby Altizer. I'm Grant Paulson. This is Bustin' Loose Baseball. Jesse Winker traded to the Mets. The Nationals get Tyler Stewart back, a 24-year-old in Double-A. And there's a chance he could pitch in the big leagues by the end of this year, one of a couple of ways, either perhaps out of the pen, if need be, down the stretch, depending on what they want to do with his innings, or it's very possible. You know, he ends up in Triple-A sooner than later. He's made 17 starts and pitched almost 90 innings in Double-A. You know, maybe he reports to Triple-A right away, or they send him there soon enough. And then when you need a spot start, I mean, they're going to eventually start slowing the roll on innings of some other guys. You know, there might be a way that, you know, he could still be able to provide some frames. I mean, he threw 110 last year. He's only at 85 this year. So because of his age, because of his level, very possible you could see him in the big leagues this season. That brings us to what's left here at the trade deadline. So Hunter Harvey to Kansas City, incredible return on that trade. They end up getting their current number 6 prospect, according to Pipeline. I'd probably have him a little lower in their system, but Caden Wallace, I'm still high on, 280 average, 14 home runs. He's not played, by the way, since they got him. He's coming back from an injury, had a little bit of a setback, nothing serious, nothing that's long-term. But they knew he was injured when they traded for him. He was not playing at that moment for the Royals. So they get him, and then the 39th pick, which turned into catcher Caleb Lomavita. Lomavita right away became a top 10 prospect for them in their system as well. They made him the catcher at a Cal, you know, their 39th overall selection. So two guys there, and that same deal for Harvey, just a return I couldn't quite fathom. I should also point out, I don't know if people saw this. Did you see this, Toby, that Hunter Harvey left the game with an injury today?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they overworked him. That sounds worse. I don't mean it negatively as much as it's baseball and that happens, but he threw so much, felt like his arm was about to fall off. He obviously wasn't sharp and really struggled. You could tell his stuff wasn't the same. Well, I'm reading here from a tweet from Ann Rogers, who covers the Royals for MLB.com. She said, Hunter Harvey is leaving with a trainer. He looked super uncomfortable out there after the last few pitches. Hopefully everything's fine. I don't want it to be serious.
The Royals tweeted out after the game that it was a left low back spasm. But,
okay,
you know, that seems like an overworked sort of injury. So, you know, the Nationals used him a lot early on, and to get that sort of return for a Harvey who, I mean, we were already seeing maybe some of the results of being overworked a little bit, and they still got two top 10 guys for him, which is impressive.
Yeah, and that's the third appearance he's made with the Royals. Already a lopsided trade, and you just hope you know, for him and the Royals' sake, frankly. They're run by some good dudes. A lot of them went to George Mason, university where I went, J.J. Piccolo, their GM among them, that you know, return works out for them and that he's able to help them maybe get a wild card spot out of the Central. But looking at what else could happen here for the Nationals, I still think it is a lock they trade Dylan Floro. Floro, who gave up the game losing home run for the record in the ninth inning, hung a pitch up in the zone, has mostly been excellent this year. His 51 appearances, and his ERA just went over 2 today, but 2.06, 52 innings, 40 strikeouts, a 1.05 whip. I mean, a team that needs someone that can induce some weak contact, someone that can come in as a non-closing reliever to just lengthen the bullpen, you're not going to find a lot of guys who have whips right at 1, basically, right? I mean, you're just – I think that there's a contender or 7 out there that would want Dylan Floro. Now, I would also tell you he's not going to get something major back. So I don't know that we're going to do an emergency pod because they just got a top 100 prospect for Dylan Floro. But this is a guy that should be traded for the same reason as Winker. He's not under contract beyond next season. You know, you can somewhat easily replace him, which isn't to say replace his production. You'll get worse in that role. But you can add one of your younger guys from the minors to the bullpen for the rest of this year and add another player to the system, which I think is inevitable. So I would just be shocked if they weren't able to do that. First of all, agree or disagree there, like that I'm saying it definitely Floro gets traded.
I wouldn't say definitely, but it feels like that's the sort of move that would make a lot of sense, right? I mean, like we've laid out with Winker already, we don't need to go through that spiel again, but I think you would probably like to move him. And honestly, if I'm a contender, he's maybe an attractive arm, maybe not necessarily because of the stuff, because he's not your typical, you know, modern reliever with overpowering stuff, but he's not going to cost a whole lot at all. Like, I mean, if I want an extra arm in the pen that I feel like I can at least turn to in a somewhat leveraged situation as like a sixth inning guy, if I'm a really good baseball team and I'm willing to give up my, you know, 18th ranked prospect or somewhere around there to go get Dylan Floro, why not? So I think there's a real chance that they can move him for, you know, they'll move him. And if you're a contender, you're not going to have to give up a whole lot. You know, I think the other interesting ones that we'll talk about are Finnegan and Thomas. Those are the ones to keep an eye on. And maybe that kind of tells you the story of how Rizzo feels about the ball club going into next season.
Yeah. So that is kind of where we've arrived now is Kyle Finnegan, who I thought all along after the Harvey trade, they probably wouldn't trade. And I don't want to say I'm opposed to trading Kyle Finnegan because that's not quite true. But I've always said it's going to take a really good deal for me to trade him because I do view them as a potential wild card contender next year. And if they do as well, and if that's their plan, if they're going to spend some this offseason and try to make the playoffs next year, then I think if you trade Finnegan, it's really hard to rebuild your entire bullpen. You will have traded your setup man. You will have traded your 3 best relievers, because I do think they're going to trade Floro, then Harvey, then Finnegan. And you will have basically now created what is something like, you know, 210 appearances that you've got to fill this offseason. That costs money. And it's not mid-relief. It's a ninth inning. It's an eighth inning arm. It's a seventh inning arm. So that's expensive. Do I really trust the learners to go out and spend a ton of money on the bullpen and get it right? I mean, it's so hard to predict relief pitching. It's so volatile year to year. Not necessarily. So for all those reasons, I think trading Finnegan, if you're trying to compete next year, it shouldn't be a certainty and is very much something that I would be hesitant to do without getting the right deal. Here's the flip side of that, and here's why right now I'm actually really intrigued by doing it. This is a seller's market, dude. I mean, some of these trades have been unbelievable in terms of returns and for relievers. The best comp for Finnegan on the market, I thought, statistically and age-wise, is Carlos Estevez. And Finnegan actually has an extra year of control. Now, Finnegan, you have this postseason and then a full year, next postseason. Estevez is a free agent at the end of the year. The Phillies traded for him. He's been great. He's been a little better than Finnegan this year, in my opinion. But they gave up arguably their best healthy pitching prospect right now in George Klassen, who's one of the better right-handed pitching prospects in the game, who's having one of the best years in the minors, and a second nearly big league ready lefty who's a top 10 prospect in the Angels system at this point as well for a rental. Like, I couldn't believe that. And you see what the Nats got for Hunter Harvey. There are other returns. What was the deal I saw today? The
Jason
Padres
Adam.
Deal.
Jason
yeah,
Adam.
Jason Adam. I mean, Jason Adam from the Rays to the Padres, and you get Lesko, who's a really high-end pitching prospect who was just in the Futures game. If he could throw more strikes, he could turn into a real gem. Like, if that's what we're talking about, where if in a hypothetical, Toby, where they could trade Finnegan and get a top five prospect in someone's system and, you know, another decent player back, that's really, really hard to turn down, especially if a team like, I'm just spitballing, but like, let's say the Orioles need a closer really bad. They need help in their bullpen. If Baltimore comes to you and wants Finnegan, and I'm now making this up officially, but like, you're able to pry one of the many infielders like Connor Norby away or something like that. You know, it sounds crazy, but when you see what's happening this week, it's really not. Like, what about a Kyle Finnegan for Seth Johnson, who's an Orioles pitcher at AA, and, you know, I'll just make up another name, like Thomas Sosa, who's an outfielder in that system, who's 19 years old. Like, a deal like that. I mean, it'd be hard for me to say no. And the way that the market has played out, you might be able to get a Norby or a Beavers or, you know, a Seth Johnson and a Judd Fabian or something. Like, I don't think that's as crazy as it once thought with 2 years of control for Finnegan.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, if we've talked about this, you know, on and off, you know, the last month or so. And that's why I've been in favor of trading Finnegan. I think we're in lockstep on in turn of what we believe. Like, if you get an incredible deal, you move him. The reason that I've been so bullish and saying trade him is I thought they could get a deal like you've seen thrown around for a Jason Adam, for a Carlos Estevez. And so there's a real chance that they could get an offer from one of these teams. And who knows, maybe, you know, those sorts of trades just don't pop up now because, you know, those are the guys that people were willing to make the offers for. And, you know, the Nationals didn't pull the trigger on an offer like that. Who knows? But I think that they could end up with an offer similar to either one of those. And if that's the case, it's almost one of those where if you're Mike Rizzo, you feel a little bit foolish, or maybe you're sitting there like, am I going to regret not pulling the trigger on this sort of deal? When, yes, you could have Kyle Finnegan next year, but you could also have these guys for the long term. So I think that Mike Rizzo is going to have to make some difficult decisions on whether he's going to pull the trigger on trading Finnegan, because I think those sorts of offers are coming across his desk right now and up until the trade deadline. I think that someone is going to give him an awesome offer. And so I wouldn't say that the overwhelming chances are that Finnegan gets traded. I wouldn't say that I feel like it's a great chance, but there's definitely a chance that he gets moved. And the reason isn't because of, you know, Mike Rizzo doesn't believe in the ball club next year, because that would open up a big hole in the bullpen that they'd have to fill, you know, in terms of closer, setup guy. They'd have to do a lot of work to fix the bullpen for next year. But when you get an offer that comes across the desk, like some of the moves that you've seen made already, it's hard to not say yes to those sorts of moves, even if it does put yourself in a little bit of a bind for next year.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the Nats and the Orioles have never made a deal, but I was at Camden Yards today, and Baltimore almost gave up yet another late-inning lead, and I couldn't help but think as I'm sitting there, you know, if they blow this game, they might have Rizzo on the phone before I'm at my car in the parking lot. You know, the Yankees are a team that could add bullpen help for sure. Their system's not nearly as star-studded. You know, and they're not giving up a Dominguez, or I don't know how interested I am in Spencer Jones, but they're not giving him up either. But there was a time, I guess my point is, where I thought, you know, that you're just not going to get A-list prospects for Finnegan. And I think the seller's market has played out in a way where now I think you would. And again, well, I can't reiterate, Estevez is 31. And while, again, he's been better this year, not by a ton statistically, but the underlying metrics, expected batting average and some of that stuff, like, he's been decidedly better. Like, Tobes, that guy is a rental. Finnegan, it's two postseasons. It's night and day. He's way more valuable. Yeah. I would have traded Finnegan, with all due respect, because I like Finnegan, to the Phillies in the division, and then had to face him all next year for the deal that the Angels got. I mean, George Klassen would be in your rotation as a fixture for years to come. I just, that deal for the Angels was unbelievable. It completely changed my mind on the Finnegan situation somewhat.
And because of those reasons, like Estevez, like you said, has probably been slightly better than Finnegan this year. But because of the control, I think there was only one reliever that I don't know if he's on the market or not. And right now he's on the injured list. There's only one guy that I would say was above Finnegan in terms of available relievers, and that's Mason Miller. And after that, it was kind of Finnegan's kind of top of the market, him. And, you know, whether you want to talk about Estevez, if you feel like he's better, and even though you don't have the extra year of control, whatever, he's a top three at worst reliever on the market. And you look at the deals that some of these other guys are fetching, including, like you said, Estevez and what he was able to get. It just makes you think that someone's going to be willing to make a move that it'd be a little bit crazy to say no to. And, you know, maybe we'll find out down the line if they ultimately don't move him. But I think that if he doesn't move him, if Mike Rizzo ultimately doesn't, it's not because, you know, they didn't have good offers. I think it ultimately would then come down to, I think Rizzo is looking at next year as a time to compete. And that would almost be more of a message to the clubhouse saying, all right, boys, let's get things figured out for the rest of the season. Let's play well. Let's continue to build. Next year, we're going to go for it. Even if it's just trying to get a wild card sort of thing, I think if they don't trade Finnegan, that's the kind of message he's trying to send.
You know, if not for the injury, Trevor Williams would be a real trade chip right now, the way he had been pitching. He's a free agent at the end of the year who won't be back very likely. But obviously, with an injury, you can't deal him. And you'd say the same thing about Joey Gallo, minus the playing great at the beginning of the year part. But, you know, Gallo, who's a free agent at the end of the year, would have been a nice piece. Now it looks like he'll come back and platoon at DH with Harold Ramirez to fill in for Jesse Winker from the left side to give you some of that power. One other name, just because, you know, as far as pending free agents on this team, it's Gallo, Corbin, Williams, Floro, and Barnes. Obviously, Patrick Corbin just doesn't have much trade value, and you're kind of going to go down with the proverbial ship the rest of the way. He's thrown much better here the last couple times through the rotation, so hopefully he can finish strong. But Jacob Barnes is kind of interesting. Now, again, I'm not saying you're going to get a lot for Jacob Barnes or anything to write home about, but do I think that there would be a team interested in Barnes who's been throwing the ball better? I actually could see that, to be honest. It might just be a deep prospects that aren't even ranked initially in their top 30. But I only want to throw that out there because, you know, if we are sitting here previewing the deadline, if they trade Jacob Barnes, I don't want people to go, wait a second, where'd that come from? That's weird. I mean, same thing, right? Pending free agent, you know, signed a one-year deal or whatever it was. And, you know, the trend for him right now in terms of lately, he's pitched pretty well. His batting average against this month in nine appearances is in the 230s. He's striking out four to every walk here recently. So I would not be stunned if a very, very minor back of the roster type deal was made with Barnes.
Yeah, maybe Barnes. And I don't know if a team would be interested because he struggled with inherited runners, but maybe Derek Law, maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if really anybody in the pen, if they don't feel like they're a long-term part of this thing, that they would move them, even if it's just for a low-level prospect. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe you saw a low-level deal for a Law, like you said, a Barnes, and you know, maybe someone's interested in a Robert Garcia. That'd take a little bit more just because you have a lot of control with Robert Garcia. But regardless, it wouldn't surprise me if they found a way to move some of these bullpen guys if they don't feel like they're part of the long-term.
All right, so let's wrap it up with this then. Let's say prediction, do they get traded, and then would you trade them? So we'll start with Finnegan.
Prediction, do they get traded? I'll say 40% chance he gets traded. So less than half. I wouldn't say the odds are that he gets traded, but I would trade him because I think the offer that you're going to get is going to be good enough. So I would trade him.
I say 55% chance he gets traded.
Over half. Wow.
And just because of the market. And yeah. I would trade him, even though I've kind of been on the other side for the last several weeks. Lane Thomas, same question.
I'm going to go 20% chance he gets traded. And personally, I would not trade him. And if you get the right offer, sure, I would trade him. But I just don't think you're going to get that offer. So I would hold on to him because I think he's valuable in the clubhouse and working with the young outfielders.
I'll say 45% chance he gets traded.
and I would trade him. For fun, you know, Floro, I'll say 90% chance he gets traded, and I would trade him. But you know, that one's a lot easier.
Yeah. Floro is probably 75-80% for me, and yeah, I would trade him.
All right. So there you go. That's an outlook on how things could come down the pike at the trade deadline. We'll jump back on after the deadline to give you guys a pod if the Nats do anything else to make sure you're up to speed on everything going on with the club. But good to see them take 2 out of 3. Good to see them win another series. Thanks for checking us out on Bustin' Loose Baseball. Enjoy the rest of what hopefully will be a wild trade deadline around Major League Baseball.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.